Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Speaking to his disciples before his arrest, Jesus said, "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." This is our text. Right before heading to the cross, Jesus said to his disciples, "Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you." And he said again, "Ask and you will receive." Notice that Jesus doesn't say, "Ask and maybe he'll give it to you," or "Ask and maybe you'll receive." No, Jesus simply says that he will give it to you and that you will receive. He guarantees it. He guarantees that the Father will give and that you will receive. He promises that the disciples' prayers and your prayers to the Father will be heard and answered. Now, up to this point, Jesus has been with his disciples in person, visibly. When they had a need, they asked him, and he would bring that need, their prayers, to God the Father. For example, consider the raising of Lazarus. When Jesus came to be with Mary and Martha after their brother's death, Martha confessed her faith in Christ with these words. She said to Jesus, "Even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." And that's exactly how it happened. Jesus ordered the stone to be rolled away, and then he prayed, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." And then, having prayed to the Father, Jesus called Lazarus, "Come out." And he came back from death. We see there how Jesus has this direct line to the Father. When he asks, the Father hears. Whatever he asks, the Father does. Their relationship is that close, it's that intimate. The Father and the Son have one will, even as they have one divine majesty and are one God. Jesus is the beloved Son, with whom the Father is well pleased, and God the Father is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus' relationship with his disciples is about to change. That night he told them, "I came from the Father, and I have come into the world. And now I'm leaving the Father, leaving the world, and going to the Father." And what does Jesus mean? How will he go to the Father? He's talking about his ascension. Just like he told Mary Magdalene when he had risen from the dead, sending her with a message to the disciples, saying, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Jesus is going to the Father in a way that he will no longer be visible to the eyes of his disciples. And so it's worth asking, what does his ascension mean for the church? And will it be a cause of sorrow for his disciples? And will the disciples and his church still have access to the Father even when Jesus has ascended? What will happen when they can't see Jesus right there next to them? What will happen when they can't call out and watch his ear turn to hear them? When they can't hear his voice pray to the Father on their behalf? In that day, Jesus says, "You will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full." The result of Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension is this. Christians pray to the Father in Jesus' name, and we are confident that our Father in heaven hears our prayers. It's no longer a matter that it's no longer a matter of asking Jesus to ask the Father. Now we can go directly to him. Through Christ, God reconciled us to himself not counting our trespasses against us. Jesus' Father has become our Father. We have the privilege and the gift of praying directly to him, just as we do every Sunday and every day in the Lord's Prayer. We have access to the Father. We have a direct line to heaven. Ask the Father, Jesus says, in my name. The Father hears our prayers because they go to the Father through the Son. They go through Jesus, through his death, resurrection, and ascension. And the Father in heaven hears us because we've been baptized into Christ Jesus. We are clothed with Christ, and our prayers have been baptized and clothed with Christ as well. In that day, Jesus says, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. So close is our relationship with Jesus that when we pray, the Father hears us as he hears his own beloved Son. Our prayers ascend to God in the name of Jesus. So if we have this promise that God hears our prayers and will answer them, if what Jesus says is true, that we ask and will receive in his name, why don't we pray more? Why do we doubt that our prayers are heard or that they'll be answered? Why are we timid when we pray instead of bold and confident? Why don't we call upon God's name in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks? Just consider what we do when trouble comes. We're not slow to call for help, but I venture to guess that we call all sorts of people before we even call out to our God, saying, Lord, have mercy. Or when good things come, we're so quick to take personal credit or to pat ourselves on the back or to attribute it to luck or some other good fortune rather than saying, God be praised. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature would have us believe that prayer doesn't work. They want us to believe that prayer is ineffective and uncertain, and they want nothing more than for us to be disappointed by prayer. They want us to ask and expect nothing from God, and then eventually just to stop asking altogether, for our prayers to grow cold. The devil, the world, and our sinful nature want us to believe that there must be a problem with us and with our prayers. Perhaps our sins are too great, they tell us. Maybe we're not praying in the right way, or fervently enough, or long enough, or often enough. Or perhaps our faith is too weak. Or maybe they suggest there's a problem with God. Maybe he can't hear us. Maybe he doesn't want to hear us. Maybe he isn't powerful enough to do what we ask. Maybe he isn't good. Maybe he doesn't even exist. Those are lies. Lies by which the devil, the world, and our sinful nature would separate us from this gift of prayer, and they are the exact opposite of what Jesus says and promises. Now I know that it does seem that our prayers often go unheard or unanswered. And I know that we don't always get exactly what we have in mind when we pray. We've all been in that boat, perhaps often. And we should note here that Jesus isn't offering a magic formula. He isn't giving a secret code. It isn't as if we can just say the words in Jesus' name and get whatever we've listed off right before. That's how my sinful nature wants it to work. My sinful nature would love to use what Jesus says to manipulate God and to serve my own selfish desire and will. But Jesus doesn't endorse that way of praying. No, instead, our Lord places his cross above such prayers, and he draws an X through them. Pray in my name, through my cross, not according to your will and your desires and the prompting of your sinful nature. Now, sometimes we may think of prayer as a blank check. Ask and you will receive. But if prayer is like a blank check signed by Jesus, then it's good for whatever is in his account, and only for what's in his account. If it's not in his account, you can't draw on it. But if it's in his account, you most certainly can. Or if prayer is like a credit card from Jesus, then it's only as good as his line of credit. And his line of credit doesn't cover sinful things. It doesn't cover things that are frivolous or worthless. And it doesn't cover things that would be harmful for us. No, instead, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, pray for these things. And we can also add this: to pray in Jesus' name is to pray like he did in the Garden of Gethsemane. Father, not my will, but yours be done. In that day, Jesus says, you will ask in my name, and I don't say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. Jesus invites us to believe in him and to believe in prayer offered in his name. Because these prayers offered in his name are prayers guaranteed by his bloody death on the cross and by his glorious resurrection from the dead. And his death on the cross assures us that our sins do not stand in the way of our being heard. Jesus already paid the price for our sins. The Father is not holding them against us as we pray. Now the Father himself loves you, just as he loves his beloved Son. And he hears your prayers in the same way that he hears the prayers of his Son. We could even say that Jesus died and rose so that you can pray in his name to the Father. He died and he rose from the dead to give you the gift of prayer. And even when our prayers aren't answered in the way or at the time we desire, we believe what Jesus said. His word is true, and it's not just sometimes true or true if we're in the right state of mind. His words are always true. We believe that the Father hears what we ask in Jesus' name. And we believe that we will receive what we ask, if not as we will, then as he wills. And if not now, then soon. We pray in hope. And so I urge you today, having heard what Jesus says about prayer, to be bold in your prayers. Pray for big things. As you pray for daily bread, pray also for the bread of life, Jesus himself. As you pray for your work, pray for God to work through you in your callings at church and at home and in the world. As you pray for forgiveness of sins, pray also for a godly character and a holy and virtuous life. As you pray for healing and good health, pray also for the resurrection of the body and the new creation. Martin Luther in the Large Catechism tells this little story. He says if the richest and mightiest emperor in the whole world were to offer a poor beggar anything at all, and that beggar asked for a bowl of oatmeal, it would be an insult. We may be poor beggars, but we are beggars to whom our Father in heaven has offered everything. We are beggars about whom Jesus has said, whatever you ask in my name, he will give it to you. It's not that God gives less than what we ask for. It's that we so often ask way less than he wishes to give. We ask for a bowl of oatmeal when he would give us the kingdom. So, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, ask for the kingdom. Ask for the new Jerusalem and the wedding feast that has no end. Ask for the return of Christ in glory. Ask for the Holy Spirit. For the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And even as you pray for the big things, don't be afraid to pray for the small things. The smallest needs, the littlest cares, the daily concerns of our lives, these aren't beneath our Father in heaven. He sees two sparrows, and he knows that they are sold for a penny, and he sees them when they fall to the ground. Nothing in your life is too little for him. And as he upholds the universe by the word of his power, he also upholds the smallest atom of that universe. So fear and love God. Use his name to seek from him all good things for yourselves and for others. Because Jesus promises that when we pray in his name, the Father in heaven hears and will answer. You can take him at his word. Ask the Father in my name, Jesus says. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. And we know that what he says is true, because he died on the cross and rose from the dead that you might have this gift of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.